There's a new danger out there in the world today I think we all need to be aware of. It's called identity theft. If your identity is intact today, your goods are in peace, and you're in peace. But it can happen that when you least expect it, someone on the internet can hack his way somehow into your profile and steal it. If he gets your name, and he gets your address, and he gets your birth date, and bank account numbers, and social security numbers, I don't know how they do it, but sometimes they do. They steal your identity. And what happens if they do? If your identity is stolen and compromised, or if someone steals your purse and gets your social security number, they can wreak havoc in your life, right? Your peace is gone, all of a sudden you're troubled, and you're anxious, and they can go on a spending spree, all because they stole your identity, the identity thief. Well, if that's true in an earthly way, how much more true is it for us in spiritual matters if someone comes and tries to steal your new identity that you have in Jesus Christ? We're going to talk today about your new identity that God gave to you and has declared you to be in Jesus Christ. But just as in the earthly world we live in, people try to steal your identity, so also in the spiritual realms, there is a thief, an identity thief, who wants to come in and steal your identity in Jesus Christ. His name is the devil, Satan, and how does he do it? How does he steal your identity? What he wants to do is to breathe lies to you, to speak falsehoods to you, to tell you certain things about yourself that are not true, such that eventually you might begin to doubt or forget who you really are in Jesus Christ and what God has declared you to be. And if your identity is stolen and you do begin to forget, it wreaks havoc in your life, just like if you lose your physical identity. You lose your peace, your freedom experience in Christ, your joy, and your fruit a lot of times. So today, what I want to do with you is start a sermon series over the next several weeks or more on your new identity in Jesus Christ so that you can understand it better, lay hold of it, and not let yourself be robbed of it. Okay? So who are you really in Jesus Christ? Who has God made you to be in Him? What has God declared about you? That's what I'd like to talk about with you this morning. So, let's start out and learn something. Turning to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read this. Therefore, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let me read that again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word can also be translated creature. He's a new being with a new identity. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What is God telling us in here? And what is Paul telling us? Is that when you came into Jesus Christ, when you believed in Him, when you were baptized into His name, something old passed away and died. Your old self, the old you. And something new was born in you. Something new has come into being. You are, God says, a new creation in Jesus Christ. So the first thing we learn here is that God really did do something for you amazing. And He has made you a new person. When you came into Jesus Christ, you became entirely new. Same person, yes, same personality, but way different. And we're going to understand a little bit more about what is that. So what is this old person that you were? What is the new person like? Well, let's start out with the old one, okay? How do you find out what you used to be like? What was your identity? The best way to do it is let God tell you about what you used to be like, what your old you was. Be prepared. It's not pretty. Ephesians chapter 2, we read this. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Quite a resume, huh? That's you. God has declared these things about you. Let me give you some of these words again. Dead. Dead in your trespasses and sins. That you were of the world, following the world. That you were a follower of an evil prince, namely the prince of the power of the air, the devil. Your name was son of disobedience. Your name was a person ruled by sinful passions. Your name was a child of wrath and destined for destruction. All these things you were. Quite a resume. That's the old you according to God. Let me go on. All right. God also declares in Scripture, Matthew 16, you were an evil and adulterous generation. And because you'd broken God's law in your heart, we all did, we were counted as an adulterer, murderer, thief, mischief maker, and idolater. It's not stacking up to look too pretty, is it? Luke 15, you were lost, a lost sheep. You did no good. You at none at all, actually. Psalm 14 says that you didn't do any good. You were entirely a sinner. You were a beggar, clothed in a beggar's outfit. And in Isaiah 64, God says, even all of your best works, the old you, were but as filthy rags, as a polluted garment. Peter, quoting the Old Testament, says, once you were no people. Once you had not received mercy. How about that for a name, huh? I was no person. I was not a person or a people. I had not received mercy. And God was angry with you, for we were not yet reconciled to God before Christ came. You were a child of wrath, and you were enemies of God, Romans 5, verse 10. A child of hell, Matthew 23, 15, and destined for it. Jesus said, your father was the devil, and your will was to do your father's desires, John 8, 44. We were fools. This is really depressing, isn't it? Titus 3 says, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. We were slaves, captives to sin and death, Ephesians 4, verse 8. Prisoners in a dungeon, Isaiah 42, 7. Debtors to God on account of our sins, Luke 7, 41. With a worthless mind, Proverbs 10, verse 20. And we lived in a dominion of darkness, Colossians 1, verse 13. Now, as I read the scriptures and student of the scriptures and when I read the New Testament, you know, something occurred to me this week as I'm reading this stuff, is of all Paul's letters, he's really accomplishing three basic things in all of his letters. What is he trying to do? He's trying to tell us who Jesus is and what he did for us, number one. Secondly, he wants to tell you who you used to be before you knew him. And then thirdly, he's trying to describe to us who we are now in Jesus. Because it is so important for you and for me to know who you are. Because as you think about yourself, that's the way you act. That's the way you behave. If you think of yourself as a loser, a deadbeat, a person not worth, you know, anything, then you're going to behave like that. And so will your spirit follow. But if you believe yourself to be something else, something great that God has done in you, changes everything. And so Paul tells us here in Ephesians chapter 2, here's a little more about your old self. He says, remember that you were at that time beforehand separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Think about that line. dead, captive, lost, prisoners, separated, strangers, hopeless. That described your identity, who you used to be. Now, maybe you might be saying in your heart or thinking in your mind right now, I wasn't that bad. I mean, come on. But you know what? Who are you going to believe, yourself or God? God has declared these things to us in Scripture, that these things define our old self, our old identity before we came into Christ. So that's really important to keep in mind. But then the next thing we need to know is, what happened when you came into Christ? When God granted you faith to believe in Him, when you were baptized into Christ, He says, the old has passed away, something new has come. Behold, you are a new creature, a new creation. And this is what I want you to lay hold of today, because there's an identity thief out there who's going to try to rob you of these things, and if he can do it, he's going to wreak havoc in your life. You'll be a fruitless person in a lot of ways. You'll be depressed and upset, but if you grasp who you really are, what God's declared you to be, I dare say it will very much change your life. Let's read again back in Ephesians chapter 2. Of our old self, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, etc. And we were children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Verse 4. But God. Isn't that the most lovely word in the Scriptures, those two words? But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with Him and made us sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Something amazing has happened to you. Have you believed in Jesus? Can you say, I believe in Him as my Lord and Savior today?
Yes.
Can you say, I've been baptized into Him?
Yes.
Then I tell you something amazingly new. You are a new creature. Your name used to be dead. Your name, God says, now is alive. Do you think of yourself so? Your name is now raised up. Your name is now seated with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, when you came to faith in Christ, you changed positions. You went from one place and you came into another place. From one position into a different position, from one standing before God to a different standing before God, which you have to lay hold of, which God tells you over and over again in the Scriptures. Alive, raised up, was seated with Christ. Not dead, but alive. Your name is no longer lost, but found. Your name is not child of the devil, but child of God. And 1 Thessalonians 5, sons of light. Say, I am a son of light. The devil's not your father anymore. God changed that. He says, now I am your father. And this all comes about by a transfer, God taking you from one place and placing you by His grace and power into a different position, a different place. Let's read that, okay? Let's actually open up and see where God says that. Colossians 1, verse 13. Paul says, God, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That word in the Greek for transfer, metastano, means to transfer or to remove you from one place and to place you into a different place. That is a huge change, isn't it? And it's all by God doing something fantastic for you by His own almighty outstretched hand by grace to deliver you and lift you from one place and place you into Jesus Christ. And those words, that phrase, in Christ, is so important in the Scriptures. Do you know that it occurs 91 times in the New Testament alone? The words in Christ defines a new position where you are now before God in Jesus Christ. And when you are in Him, what's Paul say in this verse? In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. You have a new position, and when that happens, the old has passed away, the new has come, you're a new creature with a new identity. And what we need to learn as Christians and maturing in Christians is to mature in this knowledge of who you now truly are in Jesus. And to understand what God has declared you to be and accept it and declare it out loud to ourselves, like we've already begun to do. Let's read on then. You're not a captive anymore, but a freed man in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22. Can you say, I'm a freed man in the Lord? You're not a prisoner anymore, but a soldier of the cross. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Do you think of yourself that way? In fact, it's better than that. You need to say, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. That's Romans 8, verse 37. Is that your new name? Do you go around saying, my name is, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me? A lot of times we go around looking in the mirror saying, loser. No. You need to understand that's the identity thief. Trying to put you down, steal your identity, and make you a depressed, unfruitful Christian. You need to lay hold of this authority. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. And declare it out loud. You are no longer enemies of God, but you're enemies of the devil, from whose kingdom you've been plucked. God says, I call you friends. Is that your name now? Friend of God? Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Here's your name in Psalm 18, the loyal. Psalm 16, the noble. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8, royal kings. Colossians 1, verse 2, saints. Romans 8, verse 17, co-heirs with Christ of all things. That's a wonderful thing. When you got a new name, you got a new home, you got a new inheritance, namely, God is playing to the Holy Spirit's job is to take what belongs to Christ and declare it to you. What belongs to Jesus? Everything. And the Holy Spirit's job is to take everything and now declare it to you, co-heirs with Christ. And I love this one. Our identity now is this, that God has given us his very own nature. We're partakers of it. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Do you not know that you're partakers of God's divine nature? He's placed in you at your new creation. And what is your new nature like? What's God's spirit like? Depressed, sad, anxious, worried, untrusting, full of envy and such things? No, that's your old you. The new true nature that God has given you and which we're to put on is, what is God's spirit like? You are truly joyful, courageous, strong, peaceful, wise, and trusting. For that describes God's spirit, which he has put in you. That's why Paul is constantly trying to go to people in the scriptures who are not grasping their identity, and they're starting to lose their new identity in Christ, or forget it, and he says things like this. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. See, he's bringing their identity to mind. You are sons of God. Therefore, you shouldn't fall back into fear. Come on, lay hold of your identity, he's saying. Another one, he says, Timothy was losing his sense of it. Paul says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. That's who you really, truly are. You might not be experiencing it right now, but that is your new creation. That is who you have been made by God and which you're becoming more and more. Instead of sin-stained rags of your sins, you now wear the glittering garments of Christ's salvation. For you have the robes of righteousness upon you by faith. You look royal in God's sight, having clothed you so. You're no longer slaves to sin. Your name is now, if you will, slave to righteousness. You're free from sin and its power. and your end is eternal life, Romans 6, verse 22. You will never die, says Jesus, John 11, 26. For death no longer has dominion over us, Romans 6, verse 9. Do you know that you even have power and authority now over all the power of the enemy? Over demons and spirits themselves? For Jesus gave that power to his disciples, and he said, and nothing shall hurt you. That's Luke 10, verse 19. And the devil himself, even this great evil cherubim angel that deceives the whole world, when he sees that you resist him, must flee from you. That's James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Have you grasped this new creature, this new identity that you are? These are God's words, what he has declared about you in the Holy Scriptures. Whether or not they match your personal understanding of who you are, I think we ought to go with what God says you are now in Christ, because you've been placed into him by baptism through faith. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, declares the Lord. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. But now you might have a question for me. You might say, that sounds great. But if this is all true about me, why am I not experiencing this more? Why am I not going around filled with the Spirit saying, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me? Well, let me share a little illustration to try to help you understand why you may not be experiencing that right now. Imagine a little orphan girl born in a dark third world country somewhere. She's clothed in rags. She's used to a bowl of rice a day, maybe. The adults around her that she knows are all harsh and brutal. She lives in a room of concrete. Rats run across the floor. Disease is widespread. Her night is filled with nightmares, but there is none to hold her. She's never been loved. Death is all around. But one day, a strange-looking couple comes to the orphanage. They are well-fed. They look like kings. She's never seen people like this before. And they smile at her. They're well, and one day she learns that some papers have been signed by a judge. And this couple, she learns, are now her new parents. And they take her far, far away to a new place, to a new home, which she learns is her home. Looks like a castle. She gets down to dinner for the first night, and it's like a feast fit for a king. She learns she has new brothers and sisters, doesn't know their language much yet, but her parents smile at her, and she breaks down and cries. She can't even handle the change. Well, she withdraws. That night, she has nightmares again, maybe even worse. But this night, the woman comes into her room and holds her close to her breast and sings her a sweet lullaby. What's happening to this child? Very slowly over time, she's beginning to understand something amazing has happened to her. Did she have a new identity the instant that judge signed those papers? Did she have instantly a new home when she was transferred from one country into a new country and a new house? Did she have a new set of people, brothers and sisters? Did she have a new identity? Did she have a new name instantly? All those things were instantaneous the moment those papers were signed. But because she'd lived in the old country, it takes a while, because it's a big, big change, to finally lay hold of who she now really is, what her identity really means, so that one day she can say, I'm no longer, you know, such and so, but my name is Emily Christensen, and the old person I used to be no longer really exists. It's a fleeting nightmare, and and fading memory. Now I am this person. These are my parents. And one day you'll get to see her grown up after years of this, immersed in this new place, a new woman. She'll be fulfilled, blessed, happy, peaceful, full of grace, and grace to other people. Well, it's the same thing with us. When you were a new creature, when you were placed, taken out of the dominion of darkness, placed into Christ, papers were signed, if you will, in a sense. The judge said, I declare this person now righteous. I give him my own name. I love this person. I love you. I take you into my own home. You have new brothers and sisters. You don't yet speak all their language, but you will. You'll begin to respond to your new name. You'll begin to learn courage and strength from me. And over time, you'll become the new person you already are now, the moment that was signed by the judge, but you become that more over time. Get it? When the papers are signed, that's justification. You're saved. When it takes time, that's sanctification. The Holy Spirit is working on you, and that's why I'm preaching this sermon, because he wants to do it quickly, because he wants you to know the joy of maturity in Jesus, that you are now more than a conqueror through him who loved you, and that you are loved. We need to remember, though, something else. There is an identity thief out there in the spiritual realms. His name is the adversary, Satan. What's his name in Revelation? The accuser of the brethren, who accuses them day and night before God. And he comes into your mind, for the battle is found up here in the mind, right? And what he says to you are things like, God could never love you. By the way, I remember you, Greg, last week. You were on the boat. You hit your hand with a hammer, and boy, you sounded like a sailor. In fact, you'd make a sailor blush. How could God love you for saying such a thing like that? Look at all your sins. You are worthless. You're still mine. You're under God's wrath. You're not justified. You're not loved. How could he love you? And those kinds of thoughts are like flaming darts into your mind from the accuser of the brethren. What's he trying to do? Steal your new identity. What do you need to do in a case like that? Declare to him your new identity. Declare to him the truth. And it's good to do it out loud. Say, devil, you may be right. You may be right that I have committed a sin, and I'm aware of many more than that that you've not named. But I also stand before you, and before God as one redeemed. Upon the Lord Christ my sins have been placed, and he has carried them away to a faraway land. He's cast them into the depths of the sea, never to be found again. I am justified, I am loved, and I have a new king, I have a new father. And by the way, this sword in my hand, I now wield against you boldly, the word of God. And you do your best, devil, to flee from me. For, remember, it's the devil's lies that are deceiving you. It's the truth of God that secures you again in Jesus. And you say, you'd best flee from me now. I resist you before I call to my Father, and he sends me 12 legions of angels. And he really messes with you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So what am I saying today? We're going to be talking about this more and more in the weeks ahead, about the various parts about who you are. But God's word to you today is, believe what I've done for you. You are in a new home if you are in Jesus Christ through faith. You are a new creature, and you are to lay hold of this and not let anyone rob you of your identity, but keep it always before you. For indeed, in truth, you do now have a new father and a loving one and a gracious Savior, brother, who's died for you to do all these things for you by grace through his cross, and a new spirit within you to keep you and to bring to completion that good work which he began in you on the day of your salvation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen.